Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua on the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, live with Acelia, Celia, Ataria, and Zariah, Thursdays at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yahshua simply means Yah saves. Do I speak it from my heart, mind, spirit, and soul? Yahshua, HaMashiach, help me carry this load. So I pray unto you, my Father, Yah. Hey, they took the blindness off my eyes. I'm not mischief for blind. I must accept like a swallow the prescription you prescribed through the blood of the Messiah. I will survive. Correct me with your holy truth from historical lies, from the errors of translators, theologians, and scribes. Direct me in your spirit, denying my flesh. It feels good to honor you and on the Shabbat I rest. Though the world should persecute me, I know that I'm blessed. I follow up with repentance as I continue to confess.
Does my heart pour out what you try to say? Do I communicate to faith? Abba Yah. Do my heart pour out.
Yahshua, HaMashiach, the salvation of Yah's way. Give me what to speak, Father, please. Tell me what to say. I want to communicate accurately your word divine, not to be led by man with his fleshly mind. I don't want to lean on my own understanding, to rely, keep my faith, only trusting you. For Yah, it's my blessed plate, shield and sword. Blessed be you, Yah, I could win this war. I relish your name, I adore your purpose. I don't care what nobody else thinks. I know that you're worthy, plus break shape and mold me, and hold me closely. I go, but you speak through me, for your words is holy.
Does my heart pour out what you trying to say? Do I communicate through faith? Abba Yah. Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray. Does my heart pour out sincerely and true? Or is it just lip service in my heart? It's far from you. And love is an action word as well as belief. See if it's just all talk without the work in my walk. No faith in anything, just fruit telling vain. Teach me to be my brother's keeper, unlike Cain, and to keep your commandments and reverence your name. Plus, model the gospel in the face of the hostile. I die as a martyr. It's okay, my Father, just teach me to love everything about you. And all that I say and do, make them honest and true. Most importantly ever, Yah, make it all about you.
Does my heart pour out what you trying to say? Do I communicate to faith? Abba Yah. Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
Do my heart pour out.
I pray, I pray.
He is my heart, y'all. Take it for what it's worth. May Abba Yah bless you. Shalom.
The Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite Heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, Shalom family, and welcome, 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 welcome to BHYY Radio. Y'all know how we do. Peace, Shalom, and welcome to everyone. Waves to those in the chat room, those on the phone line, and those who will be listening to this, and we hope you will be listening to this later on in the archives. We hope that you are having a great day as you are making your commute from work and or maybe going to work or going to school if you work in the evenings, and we always hope that we can enlighten your day a little bit more on these Thursday evenings. My name is Acelia Yisrael. I'll be your host for tonight along with my ladies on the panel. Y'all know they always hold it down. How y'all doing tonight, ladies?
Shalom, shalom, ladies. This is Akoti Zariah. I'm blessed. How y'all feeling tonight?
Doing well. Shalom, everyone. This is Celia. How y'all feeling?
Doing good. Can't complain. Look, Zariah laughed a little bit like, yeah, that's right. I'm about to bring it. Y'all already know. So, y'all know I always got to mess with Z because I like to laugh, and we all like to laugh. So, hallelujah. So, don't forget this is a live call-in show. That guest number is 319-527-6302. Again, 319-527-6302. 6302, and tonight's topic is a very interesting one, so we should have a pretty good conversation. Tonight we're discussing technology and your mind. Again, 319-527-6302. Recent research by New York spine surgeon Kenneth found that our constant Instagram scrolling and incessant text messaging may be hurting our backs. The study found that when you tilt your head 60 degrees to stare at your phone, you are putting 60 pounds of pressure on your neck. Previous research also shows that sitting in front of our computers all day can also negatively affect our stature. Talk about a bad back. Tonight, again, we are discussing technology and your mind. While there are many good reasons for technology, which we know just by living every day, I mean, it's become such an ingrained part of our life that we don't understand how much of a blessing the washing machine is or the vacuum cleaner or those electronics. We don't take forms of technology. We don't really think of technology aside from social media. Building a business online, staying connected with family members and friends. So, you know, there's no mistaking that technology has made things easier in a lot of ways. But also too much time spent in this virtual reality that we call it can start to have an effect on our brains and even our physical health. Now, most people spend all day sitting and staring at either the computer screen, their phone screen, or the television screen. Studies have shown that watching television induces low alpha waves in the human brain. Now, alpha waves, I'm sure we've all heard of it before, but they are brain waves that are commonly associated with the relaxed meditative state, meditative type state. While alpha waves achieved through meditation are beneficial, too much time spent in the low alpha wave state caused by TV can cause unfocused daydream and inability to concentrate. Researchers have said that watching television is similar to staring at a blank wall for several hours. Now, of course, again, this does not suggest that people should not watch TV, but to share just some of the effects that just watching TV or just surfing through Facebook or Twitter or so forth or so on can have on the human brain and how it is affecting your ability to think logically and, most importantly, spiritually discern. Now, in an experiment in 1969, a man named Herbert Krugin monitored a person through many trials and found that in less than 1 minute of television viewing, the person's brain waves switched from beta waves, which are the waves associated with, like, logical thought and stuff like that, to primarily alpha waves. When the subject stopped watching television and began reading a magazine, the brain waves reverted to beta waves. So let's talk about this, technology and your mind.
Okay. was you finished? I'm sorry.
No, I'm done. That's like, I had to take a breather. Like, I'm done. Like, I mean,
that's
we'll talk about it more in the show, but just the research on the effects that technology have on the human body is amazing. But, yeah, I'm done.
I was sitting in my room the other day, and I promise you guys, I hadn't looked up this information until after. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to touch on the aspect of what technology does to our memory. You know, a lot of times I might have a bad memory moment, and of course, because I'm getting older, I chalk it up as being a senior moment. You know, and I was thinking, and I was saying to myself, man, I know you guys remember the day of the telephone book and the rotary phone, how simple it was to remember a number. you know, because of the repetition of it and because we were dialing it all the time. Okay, fast forward to present day technology. I can't remember one number, and for the most part, it's because we have the cell phones, we store our numbers in the phone, and for most of the time, we don't even get to see the number. We just push the name and keep it moving. Well, the effects of that on our short-term memory is pretty deep. And then I went into the research of it. So I'm just going to read to you guys what I researched and what popped up. And it made me say, man, it makes a lot of sense. It started out like this. It said, take a moment to think about the last time you memorized someone's phone number. Was it way back when, perhaps 2001? And when was the last time you were at dinner party or having a conversation with friends when you whipped out your smartphone to Google the answer to someone's question? Probably last week. Now, with that being said, this also has put us into a shell because it's made us lazy in so many aspects. People don't even date anymore. They just meet each other on Facebook. They meet each other on social media. We no longer hold conversations with each other because we're so preoccupied with this technology. It said technology changes the way we live our daily lives, the way we learn, and the way we use our faculties of attention. And a growing body of research has suggested that it may have profound effects on our memories, particularly effects on the short-term memory or working memory, altering and in some cases impairing its function. So when I read that, I said, wow, that makes a lot of sense to me as far as how I have a problem with my short-term memory. And then it went on to say the implications of a poor working memory on our brain function and overall intelligence levels are difficult to overestimate. While our long-term memory has a nearly unlimited capacity, the short-term memory has more limited storage, and that storage is very fragile. A break in our attention can sweep its contents from our mind. Meanwhile, new research has found that taking photos an increasingly present practice in our smartphone-obsessed culture actually hinders our ability to remember that which we're capturing on camera. And it also listed five things you should know about the way technology is affecting your memory. Information overload makes it harder to retain information. The internet is becoming the brain's check this out. The internet is becoming the brain's external hard drive.
Wow.
Distractions makes it more difficult to form memories. Information overload causes us to lose sight of the big picture and then the small picture. Now, check this out. This is number five. Millennials' memories are rapidly degenerating. So-called senior moments are becoming increasingly common among young people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, man, when I read all of this, after thinking and feeling what I was feeling, because I was like, okay, I get it now. And I wasn't crazy. And this is real, you know, how my short-term memory is shot, and it's basically because I don't exercise my memory like I would back in 2001 or before technology. You know, another thing is, a lot of people nowadays, because of the extensive time spent on the computer and the phone, a lot of people need glasses because it definitely breaks your eyes down.
Yeah.
Constantly staring at a computer or the bright lights from your phone and stuff like that. So when I read all of this, I was like, man, this is deep. It's deeper than what we think, you know, and to finally bring it, you know, bring it out front so that we can really see that, yes, technology has its good points, but it's also damaged us in a lot of ways when we've moved away from some of the things that are normal. Like I said before, dating and getting to know people, all of that has been swapped by this technology.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's definitely reshaped all of our lifestyles. Definitely, you know, while you ladies were speaking and, you know, just going over the topic for tonight's discussion, I couldn't help but to think, you know, when we were younger, when we were in grade school And remember how the library was like such an awesome place to go? I mean, like the library was the best place to go. I mean, my friends and I, we would literally stage a hangout at the library. And you could be there from sun up to sun down. I mean, do y'all remember encyclopedias? Do you remember Britannica?
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
National Geographic? Remember how, you know, it was such a blessing if your family could afford to get you a set of encyclopedias, like, for real.
Exactly.
It was the bomb to get a really big dictionary and to open the first part and go through and flip through and, have your finger run down all the page. But now technology has just totally reshaped that. And the thing about technology is the fact that it's created a so-called convenience. It's so convenient to just use technology. And I mean, and when I say it's truly reshaped us as people, it has. I mean, we have our local news stations and our major news stations. They actually are driving you to technology. I mean, you hear your newscaster give you the news, you know, and the weather, but then after that, he or she is going to say, well, remember to download our app first.
Exactly.
You know, download your app real quick. You know, hey, you want to read this book? You know, hey, speaking of which, we got an author on the panel, Miss Ecilia. You know, hey, haven't you had
a book
too? You know what I'm saying? It's not just your hard copy books. It's like, hey, you know, you can get it on Kindle. You can do this. You can do that. Because it's created this new convenience, and which means it's a new comfort zone. So now, instead of, you know, hey, let's go to the library. Let's do some hard down research. Let's pick up a book and open it and, you know, look in a table of contents, go to an index, go to a preface. You know, no, our children don't even know how to do that now. They are so unfamiliar because they are taught to just lean on this technology. I mean, my five-year-old, he's in kindergarten, and last month they sent home a waiver just to let my husband and I know kindergartners actually have a personal iPad in the public school system. And they were just lighting up to let us know that if he ever brings it home in his book bag, make sure he brings it back tomorrow because it's the property of the school. And this is what they use to learn science and math and this and that. And you're like, wow, so our children don't even know, you know, what we used to know, going to the library, checking out a book. You know, if you mention the Dewey Decimal System to these young children, they'll say, okay, what are you speaking, Chinese? I don't even know what that is. Like, they don't even know how to even check out a book at a library because they just don't know. I mean, I'm in college, and the campus that I go to, we don't even have a library. They push us to use the online library system. So at the end of the day, when it comes to our research projects and our term papers, you know, they just force us to go online and look. And, you know, I really like how you ladies brought, you know, broke down those statistics. And, Zariah, the way you tied that back to the memory was excellent. And EC, you know, when you brought up the fact through the research, what were they saying now? It's you know, like when you sit at a TV, it's like looking at a blank screen, like staring at a wall, like really?
Staring at the wall.
Yeah, staring at the wall. We think we're doing something by watching TV, but researchers say, science says that really you're just staring at a blank wall.
And, you know, it's really something that you ladies bring up, the books and the library. I mean, it technology has really changed the game far as the publishing industry in general, you know, like you guys were talking about the e-books and stuff like that. And one of the things that I noticed, especially on social media, is that it's starting to affect not just the reading, but it's starting to affect the way that young people write. There's this language now where the text language, instead of spelling out Y-O-U, you just put U. And, I mean, it's pretty harmless far as, you know, if maybe an older person just doing it for texting or something like that. But the issue is that it's becoming basically children are, young people are basically becoming illiterate, for lack of a better way to put
wow.
it. They're not just, because I don't want it to seem like there's something wrong with doing that or anything when you're texting, but what I'm saying is these children coming up today don't know the grammatically correct way to do it. They
mm-hmm.
are doing it not just because it's popular, but because not only is it popular, but they also don't read. So they are using symbols as a way to communicate, not just because it's the times, but because they don't know the correct way to do it. So there's this text language that a lot of the millennials are doing now that is just completely just garbage, you know, and it's the way that they communicate back and forth, not just with social media, but I don't even know, what maybe one of you ladies who have older children in schools and stuff like that, I have to ask our girls, but I don't even know if they teach, well, they're older, so in the younger grades, those of you with maybe like third, fourth grade, I don't know if they teach handwriting anymore because everything is typed now. You know, there was a point in time where, you know, everybody didn't know how to type, and knowing how to type was a really big deal, you know. And but now with computers and them having Lil Moshe have the tablet in kindergarten and stuff like that, is not as critical in today's time to actually know how to handwrite anymore because of the typing and technology and stuff like that. So, I mean, absolutely, it's really changed the game. I think one of our my screen is acting up. One of our hosts got kicked off. Let me see if I can find her here and unmute her really quick. Let's see here. But yeah, absolutely. That's it's becoming that bad, you know. And you know, I run an online business, so I spend a significant amount of time online, and what I found is that it really is a virtual reality. You know, that's not just something to say to sound fancy, but and what I mean by is that it's a world of its own, and you get sucked in quickly, and you can spend hours and hours and hours there online. And when it comes to the mind, it's a very dangerous place to be for those who are weak-minded, simply because, you know, it has a tendency. Social media has a tendency to sway your way of thinking and chip away at who you are, but it does it little by little. You don't really know that you're being overcome. You don't really know that you are getting involved in something that you probably would have never thought of. You know, you never know. It's little by little. And, you know, you can start off a logically thinking person, a person with morals and values, a person with an upright perspective and common sense thinking, and with enough time in the virtual world, if you're not strong-minded, come out a completely different person, which is why you sometimes you just have to unplug. I mean, we've all heard of the horror stories of people who have had happy marriages, but then somebody got caught cheating on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and now this couple is not so happy anymore. Matter of fact, they may have gotten a divorce. Because something online, some spirit got hold of an individual and changed their way of thinking, which changed their behavior pattern. And I mean, you know, you can say that, okay, the person's heart was already there, true, but at the same time, despite what's on your heart, you can resist certain things when you are not placed in a position to be tempted like that. But just to piggyback on what Salaya was talking about with the books, absolutely, it has changed the game. Young people don't know how to write anymore, don't know how to even just send a professional. I do book reviews and stuff, and sometimes I have people don't even know how to send a professional email. Like, when you type out "and," you don't put the signal "and." This ain't a text message. You write that out, you know? So just little things like that, like, it's starting to affect business.
Absolutely. And you know, before we go to break real quick, if I could add, I'm so glad you brought that up as far as the educational aspect, EC, because, you know, the educational system has created all of these different, like, standardized testing. And sometimes as parents, you know, we can become really resistant to these tests and these, you know, these measures and, you know, all of these, you know, levels that your child should be at. But truly, you know, they're actually really beneficial, because if by a certain age, you know, your child is not really able to write a four-sentence paragraph or to explain themselves, you know, that is grammatically correct, like you were saying, EC, then that's a problem. And, you know, a lot of us get upset because, you know, we feel like the school system is pushing back. But really, you know, in the end, what they're really trying to do is prepare your children for the professional world. So I'm so glad that you brought that point up, because as parents, we really need to take a closer look at that with our children.
And another aspect that I want to touch on really quick is, you know, one of the things that really gets to me is that, you know, we don't realize what we do a lot of times when we want to keep our children busy. You know, unfortunately, a lot of our children are not going to experience what we experience as children, as far as just being healthy children playing outside. They don't do none of that no more. You know, at 5 and 6, as soon as we realize that a tablet or something can hold our children's attention, we're putting it up in their face. You know, no longer do they want to go outside and, you know, jump rope or ride bikes, things that keep them with normal, healthy childhoods. We want to keep them in the house, stuck on this technology, and next thing you know, they couch potatoes, and they don't want to socialize, and they really don't know how. Because
right.
We pacify them with this technology and keep them from having any type of resemblance of a healthy childhood.
That's so true. That's so true. Just to keep them, you know, preoccupied, like you said, just to keep them doing something.
Right,
giving you a break, right, when you're the parent and you're really not supposed to have no break. But anyway, that's another topic for another show.
And, you know, as far as schoolwork, you know, my daughter's school is not really even accepting paper on a lot of things. A lot of things have to be done through this little system that they have, which is on the Internet. You know,
wow.
They have this little system where you have to turn in your homework on the computer. You know, so I'm ecstatic when she comes home and she has to write a paragraph or something like that. But for the most part, she's lost, because everything is caught up in technology now. When I was coming up, I'm going to tell you how it really affects their brain, because when I was coming up, you couldn't use calculators and stuff in school.
Right.
And in some cases, they allow you to use calculators. Go ahead.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Dang it. I'm sorry. This phone is low. But anyway, I was about to say, I remember, and like when I was in high school and they was just starting to really implement the whole technology thing real big. Y'all know I'm younger than all y'all. But anyway, so back in like the early 2000s when they was just really starting to do it really big. And I remember in math where we had basically the computers, and then the teacher, he would print off the assignment. Every student had a different, I guess, code or whatever in a computer, so everybody's assignment was different according to their levels. So he would print it off, and then he would print off the, you know how you had to take the standardized text and you fill in the bubble and all that?
Mm-hmm.
He would print that off. And basically, that wasn't a test. It was the regular math assignment. He printed off the computer, print that thing off, you take it or whatever, and then you can go over to the computers. It was like I failed miserably, because it was like there was no textbook. There was no walk up to the board, show me how to do it. If you didn't know how to do it,
exactly.
You had to go to him. And it was like, but I just bring that up to just agree with you that I remember that being the beginnings of what they're doing now.
Exactly. And at the same token, it's dumbing our children down, because they're not exercising their brain. They're not exercising their memory, because everything is just laid out for them. So when they get these tests that they have every year, you know, and you're wondering why the percentage of the children are doing bad in these tests, is because they're not really exercising their mind. This technology have everybody going crazy.
Right.
You know, so
right.
you sometimes yep. you feel like you've turned into a computer. You know, I know people that don't leave their house anymore because they shop online. They do everything they need to do online, and they're no longer, you know, even getting fresh air.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
And you know what? After the break, I want to pick back up on that because there are ways that you can exercise your brain. And just like you exercise everything else, you got to exercise that muscle. You know, you got to every now and again read something that's
right.
not online. You know, read something that's actually in the an actual hard copy book. You know, every now and again, you have to practice going on, even with math. Like, math is so exact, you would wonder how can that be something that's turned into technology. But just like what Salaya, just like what you were saying, using calculators at an early age. Why do a kindergarten need to use calculator? Why? Why does a kindergarten
mm-hmm.
need a tablet? Why? You know. But if
mm-hmm.
you don't do math every now and again, take out a piece of paper and a pen and just do it just to exercise your brain, just to get out of that mode of let me go ahead and Google it. Before you know it, you're gonna be Googling what's 2 + 2. And I'm serious.
That's right.
Let's go ahead and go on a break. We got a pretty lengthy throwback for you tonight, but it's an oldie but goodie. So we're going to go ahead and go on this break. But y'all know we got so much more to talk about tonight. You're listening to BHYY Radio. We're talking about technology and your mind. They are slowly trying to replace your mind with the internet, so you definitely want to be on board. Let's go back with Wake Up Everybody by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. We'll be back after this.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh. Wake up. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Change it, yeah. Just you and me. Change it, yeah. Change it.
Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite Heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.
What y'all know about them 10-minute songs? Don't know
that. That joint was so long.
Welcome back, family, before I get off. Welcome back to BHYY Radio. For those just joining us, tonight's discussion is on technology and your mind. Yeah, look, so every time he will be winding down, and it's like, you know how you fade out, he'll come back, wake up, and the music can start back.
Yo, phone from back in the day is long-winded.
Absolutely, and anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes, I'm telling you.
Right, man. Right.
You better have some time on your hands to listen.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And I thought I was going to go smooth until that little 7-minute joint. It was about 7 minutes. But boy, at times, I was like, wow, this is a very long song. All right. Welcome back. Y'all know how we do it. We like to have fun and all of that good stuff. And again, technology and your mind. And don't forget that if you have insight, questions, comments, or concerns about any of the topics that we're doing or maybe something you're going through in your life, be sure to write us your Dear Sister letters at blessed_handmaidens@yahoo.com. For those of you who are first-time listeners, a Dear Sister letter is an anonymous letter that you email to blessed_handmaidens@yahoo.com to express any questions, comments, concerns, or life events or anything that you're going through as a woman that you would like to share with us. But you don't necessarily want to be found out, you know, you got the glasses on, you're sitting in the back, you want to be, you know, that's cool, or you don't want to call in. That's cool, too. And we'll read your letter on the show and discuss it with the group. So tonight we have a question. A very good question. I do believe, Salaya Zara, I do believe you guys touched on the answer in the show. But it says, because people use technology a lot for communication, do you think that it is slowly developing the lack of face-to-face means of communication and increasing the feeling of being isolated and dependent on technology? Because when people get together, they can barely speak to each other. But when behind a computer screen, people have no issue at all communicating.
And thank you for that question. That's an excellent question. And I think you kind of touched on that a little bit. But no doubt, like, people are not using their communication skills. People do not know how to talk to each other face-to-face, because we have to look at the fact that also when you're behind a computer screen, sometimes people are more comfortable with being themselves, so to speak, because they've gotten used to this new technology thing. It's definitely what I read early in the show explains it a lot. It's definitely something that affects our everyday life and the way we communicate, because no longer are people, especially if you're in the dating field, and I need to put this out there before I forget. Don't let me, you know, not to mention, when you're not spiritually grounded, the internet is full of ravaged wolves just waiting to fill your head with all kind of false doctrines and shenanigans. And, it's easy to not be yourself when you're behind the computer.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And it's already, when you're dealing with people that are used to being introverts, this is right at their alley, because they can stay in their comfort zone. You know, even with me and my husband going out, you know, I make a conscious effort to not pick up my phone. Mm-hmm. And understand that it's hard, because this thing is addictive. You know, it's hard sometimes. When we're sitting there, I might be like, oh, let me just pick up my phone. I just want to scroll on Facebook real quick while we're waiting for our food to come or something like that. And I have to tell myself no, because I'm here to spend time with my husband, and we need to effectively communicate.
Right, definitely. Yeah, that was a great question that was brought up. And definitely, I wholeheartedly agree with the question. Definitely the answer is yes. Because, you know, as we were speaking before the break, it was two things that I was thinking about. I was thinking, when you see the last part of what you were saying, you know, how you were talking about how all of that information, you know, it can become very, very overwhelming. And when it's overwhelming and it can come at you in so many different ways, so many different apps, you know, there's there's so many different websites and all of these, you know, there's widgets, then there's apps. It's like, okay, what's the difference between a widget and an app? Like, okay, but I got to have both. You know what I'm saying? But they both do the same thing, and they have alerts, and it becomes very overwhelming, and you become so exposed. But the thing about the exposure, normally when you're exposed, you're put out there, but due to the fact that it's giving you this new convenience and comfort, you can do it in secrecy. So it's almost like secret exposure. You know, you can expose yourself to everything secretly, and nobody really needs to know, because guess what technology allows you to do as well? It allows you to be false. It allows you to create another identity. So what you're able to do is live in the real world and do things face to face in front of a live real person, but then you're able to log on with your username, which is just another name that you use. That's exactly what it is. And you can do whatever you want to do. So it's so easy for you to take on another identity, but eventually those two worlds are going to clash. And you're going to have to decide, is this really me? Or, you know, am I going to just use the name that I do online? Or am I going to be the person that I have been born to be? Which is it going to be? Definitely our relationships suffer. Our relationships suffer, and we don't even know it, because that effort of looking each other in the eyes, giving each other a hug, I mean, really, now they're making it so easy, you don't even have to kiss your man no more. All you got to do is send him an emoji with the cute little lips. Kiss him up real
you know what's funny,
right?
Everything you say, because we also have to realize that, okay, because now we're in the day and age of the screenshot. That thing is powerful. Listen, nothing you put out on the internet, remember, you think it's the secrecy, it's really not.
Man,
because
yeah,
where does it go? It's stored somewhere. You know, we got to do better. People are getting in serious relationships over the internet. Folks is getting married over the internet and never really been in each other's company.
Yes, like,
you know, so what happens when you marry this person and you get all up close and personal with them and you realize, hey, this is not what I want. You know, this day technology is something else. And, you know, one of my favorite shows, let me tell you something, and it has me in here cracking up. Sometimes I can't even breathe. I don't know how many of you seen that show Catfish. My.
Oh, yes.
When I tell you, when you on the internet, people can be who they want to be. People were falling in love with these people and having long-lasting relationships and had never even seen these people.
That's crazy. Like,
but
y'all
crazy,
are laughing
but this
at
is
stuff
the,
that.
This is the day and age that we're living in.
Yep,
nobody's comfortable with the face-to-face no more. And like you said, you don't even have to kiss your husband. You could just send him an emoji with some cute lips or something. You know, it's kind of sickening. Nobody's courting. Everybody is catching feelings off the internet. Because
emoji.
A person, because of your perception of this person is one thing on the computer, but you don't really know these people. And let's not talk about all Facebook bullying that has caused some teenagers and some children their very lives.
Yep.
Or the young girls that get kidnapped and stuff by these old men catfishing them, acting like they're their age or they're little girls when they're wolves.
That's so, you know, what you said something, Salaya, that was really heavy that I don't really want us to kind of skip past it or forget about it. You said that you can have a username. That's heavy. Like, you can log in with a username, which is your name, whatever name that you want to, your alias, when you go onto this virtual reality, you have a name and you have a password, you plug in. And then you could upload whatever picture you want to, whatever avatar you want to. Especially people cartooning themselves. You could. That's your identity, and you can create an entirely different persona online, and we're laughing and stuff like that, but this is a very serious thing. Just like Zariah just got from saying, people are getting into, and this is not, be not mistaken about it, that this is not within your Israelite community. This is everywhere. This is, nobody's immune to this. People are getting into relationships with people, especially women. Women are getting into relationships with ox that they met on Facebook and getting married to them, ain't never seen them, ain't never been able to look them in the eye and discern the spirit, and then it's crazy, you know, and so like everything the ladies just got through from saying, I mean, just reiterate it, but that username thing is deep because that's what happens. And then once you log in, you're in. You're in the virtual world now.
Okay.
And so now that you're in a virtual world, you can be whoever you want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many people, because y'all know I blog, whatever. So I run into so many people virtually, and it's so true, you don't really know who is really, like, for real. You know, there are some people who, ethnicities, you cannot tell. It's this one person, I assumed that she was, you know, a Gentile, or for those who may just be listening, or you know, European. Why did I think she was European? Well, there's a avatar picture of this cartoon white lady. But come to find out, she's black. Would have never known. You know, so just little stuff like
that.
Like, why do you have a picture up and that's not even you? And the same thing with the men. You know, there are tons of horror stories floating around that I read about men. And even it's even filtering in when we're talking about books. It's, you know, it's people who pretend to be authors. It's people who would upload book covers to Amazon and would, you know, have people to pay their money and stuff. It's not even real. It's so fake. Like, the virtual world, like the internet, is so fake. So I just be careful, family. Like,
I think that was so powerful how you brought up the professional world, because see, this trickles over into the professional world. Like myself, I work in a very, very corporate, bureaucratic setting. And what people don't realize is that this social media and this virtual reality, that, you know, how EC made that excellent connection and that point, is the fact that when you are applying for jobs, make no mistake, once they know your first and last name, they're doing a Google search on you real quick.
Yeah.
So that's your Facebook. That's all of your social media profiles. So guess what?
Yeah.
You may be Harvard Law and NYU and Columbia College out of Chicago and everything, 3.7 GPA, Dean's List, and yada, yada. But when they go on your Facebook and they see how you, when they go on their Facebook, and they see those little explicit pictures that you post and your funny little memes and how you talk with your friends, and they see who you really are, guess what? They won't even call you for an interview because you've already given them the invitation to look you up. So, again, I love how you brought that up, EC, because we're thinking so much on the social aspect, but truly it affects you professionally as well, which in the end is your livelihood while you're here on this land.
Absolutely. Man, that was a good point. You know, you, just like you said, all them Harvard Law 3.7 GPA can speak eloquently, and but you on Facebook being ratchet. Like, they look at us like, you think people not going to find that? Like,
you can find out anything. You can find out, it's so crazy because you can find out everything you want to know about a person, whether that be the person's criminal history, whether that be the background. So when we got these internet, you know, and it's funny because when you got these Facebook, internet, back alley marriages going on, You know, of course, a lot of people are not on Facebook under their government name. You can't look up them, so you don't know their history or anything. You know, but I know that if you're dealing with anybody, any type of government, if they know your name, they can definitely look you up on their social media. Media. They can definitely look you up and get all your business. You know, get all your business. And listen, I challenge everybody to just take it back old school. You know, sometimes, like Easy said in the beginning of the show, we have to unplug. We have to unplug from the matrix. We have to unplug from this virtual world that we're living in and just get back to the basics, doing old school things, reading a book, you know, spending time communicating with your family instead of everybody sitting around looking like robots and everybody's tuned in on their phone and nobody's communicating and the TV's playing and everybody is just in their own virtual world. We got to take it back old school. Take it back, and we have to learn how to exercise. I know I personally need to start exercising my memory more because I used to remember numbers like it's nothing. My short-term memory is damaged due to technology.
And I'm glad that you brought that up because we at the last 3 minutes, and I would like for us to go ahead and take it out with some solutions. So go ahead and finish us off, ladies.
Yeah, definitely. I'll start off by saying, you know, just basically extending what you ladies have been talking about. Be active. Be physically active. You know, pick up a book. You know, just be active. You know, let's not be so lazy. Let's not be so weary in, you know, using our brain, you know. And now they're even making apps to exercise your brain. So it's like, come on now. You got apps now that are telling you to know how to connect the dots so you could do this because clearly research is already doing it. And let's stop hating on the robots and the technology because we always find ways to use the robots and technology. Hating on them, if you want to go ahead and push them back and tell them to go where they came from, let's start being active and doing what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
More capturing moments in the here and now than trying to capture a moment on camera and then later on not remembering what the moment was. Make memories without the technology.
Great points, ladies. That's it. That's the end of tonight's show. We really hope it was a blessing to you. And piggyback on what the ladies were saying, exercise your mind and your body, you know, get up and work out and, you know, because if you work at a place where you have to be sitting down all day, make sure you incorporate some kind of physical activity into your schedule. Even if you are a stay-at-home wife or a stay-at-home mom, that don't mean that you have to watch TV all day. I mean, you can turn the TV off and pick up a hard cover book, you know, or you can go and take a walk around the neighborhood or go down to the gym or the fitness center, you know. So
right now.
You know, like, test your memory. Make lists. Not make lists as in go on your phone and pull up the notebook. No, I mean, take out a piece of paper and a pen and make a list like that. Go get a journal and write daily or weekly in the journal just for the sake of remembering how to write, you know. Do memory exercises with math. Take out pencil and paper and write out math problems and do them by hand without using the calculator on your phone. Try to do some kind of research without going to Google it. So do math in your head. You know, try to figure out math problems in your head as well. Go through the contact list on your phone and start memorizing phone numbers, you know. Just exercise your brain, you know, exercise your mind. We talked about unplug and unplug sometimes. Like I said, like I work online. I don't have to be, you know, in the virtual reality, so to speak. You know, I have to spend hours online blogging and tweeting out things and interacting with authors. That's some of the things I have to do as an online merchant. But that doesn't mean that I can't unplug. Take a whole week off. Take a whole 2 weeks off if you want to. And just stay away from that. Come back refreshed, you know. So those are some of the things that we can do to exercise. Read. Read something that's not on a screen. Read something that's not posted to Facebook. Read something that's not posted to Twitter. Read something that's not an Instagram meme. Read something that's not on a computer article. Actually open a book that you can touch and you can smell and you can see. Walk to the library. You know, these are things that are going to help us to exercise our memories and exercise our minds. Pick up your scriptures and read your scriptures. You can have apps for the Bible on your phone, but every now and again, pick up the actual book, you know, because the whole idea is to disconnect sometimes and be able to really feel again. Go and fellowship with brothers and sisters in person if you have the opportunity to. Go to the park. Go around people. And be able to look at people and speak to them and hug people and get back to that human interaction. If we create this kind of balance in our lives, then we'll be okay. So it's not like I said, it's, you know, if you're weak-minded, all technology will take you out quick. But to strengthen your mind, you have to create balance in your life and make sure that even if you have to work online or even if you have to do these things, it doesn't mean that you have to do it 24/7. There are times where you can disconnect and unplug and just recapture. Zariah said something earlier in the show about going out to dinner with her hubby and not being able to look at her phone. That's one of the things my husband and I do as well. We have a rule: movie night, no phones. Date night, no phones. You know, and we came up with this
right.
Because we were at a date night, and we looked around at all the tables, and you couples sitting across from each other, they looking down at their phone. It looked scary, like creepy scary almost.
Mm-hmm.
We looked around the whole room, everybody sitting across from them, they looking down, it was like, whoa. Like, and that
like,
moment, it's like we were in the Matrix, you know, like at
that
moment,
movie,
it was like
that movie fell.
Yeah, like that's how it was. And so that's when we realized that, okay, when we're spending this intimate time together, because we talked about keeping the spark, and intimacy
exactly.
is not just about sex. You need to be
that's
able
right.
to stimulate your mind and strengthen your relationship through communication. Stop, you know, you ain't, you know, texting, and like y'all was talking about the emojis. No, you don't need to text that man. You need to be able to speak to him. You need to be able to hear his voice and look into his eyes, especially if you're a woman who looking to date someone or looking to marry them. No, you need to be able to see him. You need to be able to see evidence of who he is. You don't need to hear him say, Yah and Yahushua. You need to see it in his actions. You need more than Facebook.
Yep.
You need more than YouTube prophets. You need to be able to see prophets in action and living color in order to know them. See, before you go and marry somebody, you need to know them, and you can't know them if you ain't never seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of physical touching interactions we need to get used to. I don't care that they say that
again,
the Hebrew is
right.
I don't care that they say Yah and Yahushua. You need to feel this, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, we are past the time. Sorry about that, but this is just how important it is, family, to create balance in your life and to just make sure, like, get to know these people. Really get to know people. You online, you never know who anybody is, and until
right.
you know that's just the. That's just what it is. So let's go ahead and take it out tonight. We apologize, family. Tonight was such a hot topic that we did not get to the Guess That Jam. But we're going to close out with
mm-hmm.
Living Sacrifice by Maria tonight. But check us out next week, same time, same show, and we'll see you. Shalom.
Been to the valley down below. I've seen the mountain top so high, but nothing can compare to God's love, and that's the reason why I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. So I bow down, yeah, at your feet. Yeah, I bow down so humbly. Yeah, I bow down at your feet, the highest place of worship. Oh, oh, oh. Been through the sunshine and the rain, God's love remains the same. You said your word will never change. Today, tomorrow, and yesterday, oh, you know I put my trust in you. No matter the storm, you guide me through, yeah, yeah. Things of this world, I let them go. And singing from my heart, yeah, I will show. I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. So I bow down, yeah, at your feet. Yeah, I bow down so humbly. Yeah, I bow down at your feet, the highest place of worship. Oh, oh, oh. I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. I present my body a living sacrifice. So I bow down, yeah, at your feet. So I bow down, yeah, humbly. Yeah, I bow down, yeah, at your feet, the highest place of worship. Oh, oh. Yeah, I bow down at your feet. So I bow down so humbly. Yeah, I bow down. Yeah, at your feet, the highest place.
The Blessed Handmaidens of Yah and Yahoshua is the women's ministry of Israelite heritage, brought to you by the Israelite Heritage Radio Network, hosted through blogtalkradio.com.